Radio Daily for
not Monday,
which means the week is already looking up. What? Okay, there's still goofy stuff out there, but deal with it. It's fall. Halloween is in the air, and you love it. You know you do. Hi. Welcome to the 2nd of October. We're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know, some Facebook and Twitter and all those crazy places. The folks bringing it to you today, the man back from one of his crazy weekends. It's podcasting George Siegfried.
Don't unlock doors you're not prepared to go through.
I'm sure you didn't. Hey there. I'm the guy. I get around in the world. I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
Slovenian women go wild for Billy Flynn.
Word on the street is that's absolutely 100% accurate. What happened on this fine day, sir?
I tell you, they're huge fans of you. In fact, the RavenCon 13.5 just a couple weeks ago, I was having to fend them off of you, man. It was crazy. In 1608 in the Netherlands, Hans Lippershey successfully completed the construction of the first optical telescope. Though there have been earlier telescopes, Lippershey will be the first to patent the device, though he'll beat out Jacob Metius by only a matter of weeks.
1925, Scottish engineer John Logie Baird performs the first successful test of a television transmission system when he sends the first grayscale television image from one end of his attic laboratory to the other. The image is of a ventriloquist dummy that he nicknamed Stooky Bill.
Oh, it's good to know that the first thing that went across television was a horror television show.
R.L. Stine's been around for a while.
1935, the Hayden Panetarium in New York, the fourth planetarium in the U.S. opens.
1942, the first self-sustaining nuclear chain reaction is demonstrated in Chicago, Illinois. Keanu Reeves said, whoa.
1950, the first Peanuts comic strip written and illustrated by Charles M. Schultz is published in 9 newspapers across the country.
1955, the ENIAC, the first general-purpose electronic computer in history we talk about all the time, is decommissioned after 9 years in service.
Wow, it doesn't take that long for technology to become completely irrelevant, even in 1955. In 1959, the television anthology series The Twilight Zone premieres on the CBS network with an episode, Where Is Everybody? In it, a man wanders an abandoned town struggling to remember who and where he is. Or is he?
Dun, dun, dun. 1996, U.S. President Bill Clinton signs amendments to the Electronic Freedom of Information Act requiring government agencies to make certain records available electronically online, not non-electronically online. There's a difference.
Yeah, and still no mention of Area 52 yet, huh? They let us know about 51, but not 52. Jerks. 2002, the Star Trek Enterprise episode Minefield first airs. It's episode number 203. It's just the production number. In it, Enterprise snags a cloaked mine and Reed and Archer race to disable it during the first contact with the Romulans.
Well, I mean, they talk to him and stuff because you couldn't see them because we have continuity still.
Mm.
Well, mostly. Birthdays?
Camilla Bell, 32 years old, from Lost World, 10,000 BC, and Push.
Lorraine Bracco is 64 from Goodfellas, Sopranos, Rizzoli and Isles. You might notice a theme there.
Rex Reed, 80 years old. He's a film critic and played the film critic in Superman the movie. I wonder if he had to get it into character.
No longer with us, born in the state in 1890, Groucho Marx, the most famous member of the Marx Brothers, also on You Bet Your Life, and is the inspiration for Hawkeye Pierce.
He's a hell of a man. I understand he's a big fan of ladies with tattoos. 1897, Bud Abbott from Abbott and Costello.
1909, Alex Raymond, American cartoonist, created a little something called Gordon.
1917, Charles Drake, A Night in Casablanca. It came from outer space and Commodore Stalker on Star Trek, the original series.
1928, George McFarlane, better known as Spanky in Our Gang and Little Rascals.
1929, Moses Gunn from Shaft.
You're damn right.
Rollerball, Good Times, Amityville 2, The Possession, and Leonard Part 6.
1948, Persis Kambata from Nighthawks, Lieutenant Ilya from Star Trek The Motion Picture, yes, the blonde woman, get over it, Megaforce, Warrior of the Lost World, I kiss my thumb to you this fine day.
Did you say the blonde woman?
Bald, I think I said. Hope I said. Who knows what I said.
On PBS, we've got a new NCSSS FBI, Nancy, and then no.
ABC, it's new Dancing with the Stars and the premiere of A Million Little Things, which is not the book disgraced by Oprah.
Oh, NBC has a new The Voice, This Is Us, and a new Amsterdam.
Wait, is it New Amsterdam or a new Amsterdam? I don't understand.
The show was originally called Constantinople.
Fox has new episodes of The Gifted, and then Stifler joins Lethal Weapon. Huh? Huh?
That show immediately went downhill, and you see Clayne Crawford's contribution once it's missing. CW has rerun of Flash. Talon, Garrett, and Yanzo make their return from the Grayskin Wastelands, only to discover that things at the Outpost have changed a great deal on a new The Outpost.
Freeform, it's Monsters University. It's like Animal House, but without the double secret probation.
AMC has a Walking Dead marathon.
I wonder why. FX Avengers, but then when a new deal in Santa Madre is made, it requires a dangerous favor on a new Mayans. MC.
FXX Simpsons marathon. No good read goes unpunished. Throw Grandpa from the Dane and Surfson.
FXM has The Shallows. Watch a shark attack a young lady repeatedly.
IFC has Men in Black.
BBC America's continuing the Doctor Who marathon. Tape lots of episodes. That's what I'm doing. Little girl saw her first one. Yay!
Nice. Paramount Network has Fight Your Own Battles. And a new Ink Masters.
Sure. TBS has two. Count them, two new episodes of Wrecked.
Nice. Sci-Fi has Iron Man 3. Love it.
TNT, you my boy, Blue. It's old school.
Science, Titanic, The Lost Secrets, and a new Unearthed.
But we're going to be watching the Lifetime Movie Network because a high school senior's world comes crashing down when she finds out that her boyfriend is being surreptitiously seduced by her teacher. But when the teacher tries to make light of the matter and cover details up, the situation takes a fatal turn. Josie Davis, Cameron Dean Stewart star in Dirty Teacher.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what soap opera's Billy Flynn is doing today. It's your Days of Our Lives Chad update.
John's prayers are answered, which means that Hattie must get swooped up by like this big bird and carried away. And, well, not Big Bird, mind you. Will furthers his commitment to Paul. He buys his and his spatulas. They don't sail a Spatula City. Sammy makes a stunning discovery. She is in a storyline this week. Oh, wait, no, the whole Hattie thing. Ben shares his good news with Sierra. Hey, I didn't cheat on you, so don't take a trip to the bedroom. Hashtag Chabby forever.
Looks like you've got mail waiting.
Of course we do. Hi, geeks. Sorry I've fallen behind again already. Just finished listening to your panel show at RavenCon. I was finally able to attend in person. Oh, my God. Yes, I did see you there. I remember now.
Yes.
So maybe that helped me understand every word everyone said. But
just because you were drinking, you don't remember,
Bill. I don't know what you're talking about. But I think my recall is so bad that it really is your excellent skill, gear, and experience with capturing sound. You didn't just mic some of the panelists. Well, you mic'd all of them. Well, even MJ, who, of course, doesn't keep in mind that she still needs to project, and that's fine because she's so little and adorable. I've struggled to listen to some weak and or inconsistent sound recordings before, so I really appreciate you. And you do it on a budget because Billy and Flintsters are parents. I know of a very nice guy who really doesn't mean any harm by naming his wonderful podcast series Your Art Sucks. He wrote back to me that he had a computer dying and other problems, and he has to keep his gain low for now to avoid noise, if he's okay with it. And so are you. I could pass each of you the other's email, and maybe you can help him do some sound on his budget, maybe even with current equipment. Well, sure, absolutely we can do that. But now I think of it, he's probably thought of everything possible, and he just needs more money. He's not dumb, after all. You know, money helps a lot of us there, Bill. Thanks for inviting us to such a good show. You were all on fire with fun things to say. Best episode I can recall. That is from Bill.
And in fact, yes, sometimes it is very important to be able to, when podcasting, because there isn't a whole lot of money in it, is to be able to work on a budget, which is why you can help us out for just a few dollars a month. You can visit patreon.com/geekradiodaily and sponsor the podcast for the price of a cup of coffee or maybe a few V-Bucks. You can help us with cables and other smart, important, necessary things to make sure our audio goes right from our mouths to your ear holes.
I'm just glad the sound is still decent considering we don't bring microphones for everybody like we used to because a baby takes up a lot of room. If you've got some suggestions or ways to help people out or money, tell us all about it. Drop a note to podcast@geekradiodaily.com or, of course, you can always send a voicemail, though, you know, visiting that Patreon site works a lot better. You can do that by sending the voicemail to
510-GRD-CROW.
Ka-ching.
As a young boy in Marshalline, Missouri, Walt Disney played Peter Pan in one of his favorite stories in a school play. He used to say in Disneyland, an adult is just a grown-up child. Well, here at the Neverland Podcast, we'll talk about heroes like Spider-Man, He-Man, and the others that taught us how to do what's right, because right makes might. We're like Saturday Morning's All-in-One Podcast. Join us every week to go to Disney and beyond at neverlandpodcast.com.
Hey, everybody, it's Tony Todd. You're listening to Geek Radio Daily. Stay tuned or drop out. God bless you.
Man, I haven't dropped out since the 70s. That's fantastic. Welcome back.
I know what that means.
I'm sure you don't. You have such virgin sensibilities.
I looked it up.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
No, but you certainly do, and now is the time to get them. What's new and available for us to put on the shelf, sir?
Well, we've got Doctor Who, the Peter Capaldi collection.
The Matt Smith collection as well.
And Together at Last. You can get the Eccleston and Tennant selection collection all together.
Well, they are the same guy. I mean, they have the same TARDIS and same sonic screwdriver. I see what it did. The original is the fifth and final season, or get the complete series if you wish.
The Good Witch, season 4.
Barry, season 1. This is the sensitive police forensic side of Barry Allen, The Flash.
No, it's not. I really want to watch it. It's about an assassin.
It looks fantastic.
Class. Sounds awesome. We've also got Burn Notice, the complete season, which actually, you know what? I think that could be bumped into our next aisle.
Sure. Your classic TV on DVD section, which kicks off with The New Adventures of Batman. That's your Saturday morning 70s cartoon, kids. Batmite. A lot of Batmite.
Saved by the Bell, the complete collection. Follow the trail of the Butcher of Bayside.
The Adventures of Aquaman, the complete collection, not including the stuff from Entourage, but maybe the stuff with Justin Hartley.
Wait, is that the animated or?
Yeah, the animated. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure. We've also got Mobile Army Surgical Hospital, the complete series run of MASH, a show very important to me.
I hear Groucho Marx is in that. The Mary Tyler Moore Show, the complete series, yet again. I think it was last week, too.
From our documentary aisle, A Dangerous Idea, Eugenics, Genetics, and the American Dream. What, Dusty Road? Yeah, baby, I'm always talking about the eugenics, baby.
No, it's Khan. Must be anime based on title alone, The Disastrous Life of Saki K, Season 1.
Hayuka! The complete series.
For our re-release section, you got Sons of Anarchy, the complete series.
Purge, the complete collection. That's all of them.
Yeah.
You can binge Purge.
Police Squad, the TV and movie collection. It has Police Squad and it has the movies.
Oh, nice. Except for maybe the last movie. Start Halloween off right, Isle. From our Start Halloween off right, the end cap, we've got An American Werewolf in London.
Salem's Lot.
Tales from the Hood 2, the hoodening.
That must have just come out. For our regular release department, Sleep No More, which could be a Halloween thing.
That's true. Housewife.
Strange Nature, which read that way is a Halloween thing.
Oh, good point. Three Identical Strangers. Get out of the city.
Sicario. Day of the Soldado.
Oh, Jace. Very nice. Domain.
The first Purge. See how it all started. Apparently, according to Jason, it's Die Hard in the Hood.
I like that. Death Race Beyond Anarchy. They're still making them.
But in the sleepy seaside town of Dunwich, a group of vigilantes took matters into their own hands when notorious criminal Jack Kane escaped conviction. After torturing and killing Kane, they buried his body in the local cornfield and made a pact never to speak his name again. Freddy
Nightmare on Elm Street.
Now, as they prepare for their annual Halloween celebration, when the veil between the living and dead is at its thinnest, a mysterious apparition begins stalking the land and dishing out brutal retribution to the vigilante group. Joe Hart, Jason Gregg, Jared Morgan are starring in The Legend of Halloween Jack.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News!
Take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, remember how there was going to be a Gambit movie?
Is it still in the cards?
Yeah, but a slightly different hand now, because producer Simon Kinberg says 20th Century Fox Gambit film will take Channing Tatum back to the genre that made him. The romantic comedy.
I'll strip it.
And before you start picturing the montage of Gambit trying on wedding tuxedos and sampling different types of cake, keep in mind that Kinberg clarified this film will be squarely rooted in the superhero genre. So they decide on villains together? I don't know.
But don't they have to have a script or something, though?
Well, according to Kinberg, the film already has a script, with an eye on moving into production, quote, early next year. No director is signed on, though. Back in May, Kinberg said the studio was meeting with directors in the hopes of starting production over the summer, a time frame that, of course, has passed. No release date has been announced. This is stunning news for all of us, as we really thought that they had folded.
Sounds like they still haven't figured out when to walk away.
Or when to run.
The animated series Post-Apocalypto, featuring Jack Black and Kyle Gass back as Tenacious D, premiered at Fantastic Fest and is now launched on YouTube. The first episodes of the series arrived before the weekend, and you can see it for free.
Oh, I think I can afford that.
If not, please make sure you go to patreon.com/geekradiodaily. It features a new song from the upcoming new album of the same name. If you're in the market for something totally goofy and full of phallic imagery, like you know I am, then look no further. The first chapter of the animated series is called Hope, named for the song of the same name in the episode itself, which you'll find out the post-apocalypto album release coming November 2nd, 2018. The rest of the episodes, totaling up to six, will be released every Friday leading up to the release of the album, each featuring a new song from Tenacious D. The animation was all hand-drawn by Jack Black himself, making early South Park look expensive, which does add to the hilarity of the proceedings and more than a little charm. Post-apocalypto finds Tenacious D thrust into a world of complete and utter destruction, following the drop of an atomic bomb, surviving the attack in classic cinematic fashion. A good old imperishable 1950s refrigerator.
That trope belongs in a museum!
The duo quickly learns that new forms of evil have spawned from the blast. One thing becomes apparent. For humanity to prevail, Tenacious D must save the world. It's like they're making an album out of American Horror Story Apocalypse, which means it will have songs like What's My Purpose? Happy Halloween, Bitch! And the cover of the classic Joni Mitchell song, Mallory, Why Are You Molesting My Lubes?
Walmart. Like any retailer, they want more info from you. But now, they're getting up a little close and personal here. Walmart has filed a patent application that would let the company equip shopping cart handles with the ability to measure heart rates and body temperature to determine a shopper's stress level.
I usually have very high stress if I'm in Walmart because it's difficult to find shirts with sleeves.
Based on the collected data, at least one store associate will be alerted if shopper needs assistance.
Will they bring me at least a margarita to make it easier?
Oh, God, right? The application says the data will be collected in near real time as soon as the shopper grabs the shopping cart handle and sent to a server for analysis before sending an alert to store associates.
As long as I get my damn margarita.
I mean, if that's what that is for, great. Plus, it provides jobs. But I got a feeling this is to try and find folks before they snap and start fighting. It is, after all, Walmart. So let's be honest here, folks. It's either that or they're looking to see what products make you excited. Or if they're going to turn us into...
Sam's Clubman?
Close. I was thinking shopping cart Daleks. The pay is inadequate.
There's something mysterious coming up from the frozen ground in Antarctica.
Aurora Borealis!
No, it's actually from underneath, not above. But this is something that could break physics as we know it.
Steamed hams?
Physicists don't know what it is exactly, but they do know it's some sort of cosmic ray, a high-energy particle that's blasted its way through space into the Earth and back out again. But the particles physicists know about, the collection of particles that make up what scientists call the Standard Model, or SM, of particle physics, shouldn't be able to do that. Sure, there are low-energy neutrinos that can pierce through miles upon miles of rock unaffected, as everybody knows, but high-energy neutrinos, as well as other high-energy particles, have large cross-sections. That means that they'll almost always crash into something soon after zipping into the Earth and never make it out the other side.
Do the Lectoids have anything to do with this? The anniversary of their arrival is coming up.
True, but yet... Since March 2016, researchers have been puzzling over two events in Antarctica where cosmic rays did burst out from the Earth and were detected by NASA's Antarctic Impulsive Transient Antenna, or ANITA, a balloon-borne antenna drifting over the southern continent. Physicists have proposed all sorts of explanations for these upward-going cosmic rays, from sterile neutrinos that rarely ever bang into matter. Oh, that's just an offensive name. Come on, to atypical dark matter distributions inside the Earth, referencing the mysterious form of matter that doesn't interact with light. It's one of the 18 biggest unsolved mysteries in physics. I think I read about those in Highlights for Kids. All the explanations were intriguing and suggested that ANITA might have detected a particle not accounted for in the Standard Model. But none of those explanations demonstrated conclusively that something more ordinary couldn't have caused the signal at ANITA. In a new paper, a team of astrophysicists from Penn State University showed that there have been more upward-going high-energy particles than those detected during the two ANITA events. Three times, they wrote, IceCube, another larger neutrino observatory in Antarctica, who constantly has good days, detected similar particles. Though no one had yet connected those events to the mystery at ANITA, and combining the IceCube and ANITA datasets The Penn State researchers calculated that whatever particle is bursting up from the Earth, it has much less than a 1 in 3.5 million chance of being part of the Standard Model. In technical statistical terms, the results had confidences of 5.8 and 7.8, 7.0 sigma, depending on which of the calculations you're looking at. They're always arguing about this. The Anita anomalies could offer scientists the key information necessary to properly tune the LHC to unlock more of supersymmetry. Those experiments may even turn up in an explanation for dark matter. Later this week, cosmic ray expert Dr. Reed Richards will examine the findings with a fantastic team. Now, by the first experiment he did was solid. The next three were pretty much garbage. But here's hoping fourth time's a charm, as long as there are no robots.
Black Mirror. Basically, the show that makes us all uncomfortable in the most fascinating ways possible has a new gimmick for next season.
Is it a happy ending?
Well, San Junipero kind of was, but I digress. Netflix is planning to roll out a choose-your-own-adventure programming for adults by making an episode of the fifth season of Black Mirror, one where you get to affect where the plot goes. The popular sci-fi series deals with the terrifying implications of technology, so presumably, the decision-making will tie into the episode's plot in a rather meta way. Netflix has never before applied the interactive format to live-action programming intended for adults, although it has done so with children's shows.
They made a Black Mirror's kids show?
No, but they had this thing, Puss in Book, an animated special in which viewers at various points must make one of two possible decisions by clicking on their computer or hitting a button on your remote. Outside of Black Mirror, other choose-your-own-adventure-style programming coming to Netflix will include video game adaptations, like a new Minecraft series. Black Mirror's fifth season doesn't yet have a release date, but if it follows the schedule of the past 2 years, it will be ready to give you nightmares before the end of this year. Good luck on trying to find the best ending for this. But I'm going to take the War Games advice on this one.
Strange game. The only winning mode is not to play.
Falcon's Maze, baby. GRD is licensed under Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, Nice State 3.0 license. Go check us out on Facebook and on Twitter and stop by the website at geekradiodaily.com. Make sure you check and see. I believe The Cinemistress has The Predator. What is it called? It's a romantic comedy.
The Predator. It's all about a guy. His taste tends to skew a little young, but yeah.
Oh, not where I thought we were going with that. But okay, then. Fine. Go to youtube.com/geekradiodaily, and there's got to be something better for you there. Or drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast@geekradiodaily.com. Or also send a voicemail. Do both. Leave your email hanging on a cliffhanger and finish it by dialing
510-GRD.
We would not see that coming.
Funny. I detect no source of amusement.
I thought it was piss wrapped in poo.
Good night, suckers.
Well, folks, I am out of here.
Ah, this meeting brings back memories. Childhood days, lemonade, romance. My life was wrapped around a circus. Her name was Lydia. I met her at the World's Fair in 1900, marked down from 1940. Ah, Lydia. She was the most glorious creature under the sun.
Thais! Dubarry!
Gabo!
Rolled into one.
Lydia, oh Lydia, say, have you met Lydia? Lydia the tattooed lady. She has eyes that folks adore so, and a torso even more so. Lydia, oh Lydia, that encyclopedia. Oh Lydia, the queen of tattoo. On her back is the Battle of Waterloo. Beside it, the wreck of the Hesperus too. And proudly above waves the red, white, and blue. You can learn a lot from Lydia.